This is your ADD cast number 14th, coming to you live to hard drive from atop the famous deluxe townhouse in the middle of a windstorm in Vienna, Virginia. Good afternoon, everyone. We are coming to you live from the microscopic studio high atop my townhouse in the middle of a windstorm, so you may experience a little wind blowing in the background. Our drink of choice this fine afternoon is a little decaf coffee from the Whole Foods Market. And on my right, joining me for another Testosticast is Mr. Eric Masiello.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Actually, I'm doing a lot better.
I'm glad to hear it.
You know.
Haven't seen you in a while. It was like a couple of weeks before Christmas, at least.
That's
might have
about
even
right.
been November.
Possibly.
Yeah. It's that work and family thing. And
work, family, trying to figure, you know, stuff out. I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to go down the wrong path to find out it doesn't work. And that
sometimes
happens.
And as long as you learn from your mistakes, you're in good shape. It's the people that continue to go down the wrong path, even when they know that it hasn't led them where they wanted to go any previous time, that are having real problems.
Well, that's it's a very interesting thing you bring up, because I know a lot of people, basically what they do is they do the wrong thing so long that they give up, I don't say they give up hope, but they lose a grasp on what's real. I mean, myself included. I mean, you can't, like, okay, video games are fun. An hour or two of video games is a lot of fun. 8 hours of video games will you know, make your brain explode.
Yeah, bad for your brain, bad for your body.
Yeah, bad for everything. And you takes you, I don't know, how old am I? A million years to piece that together.
Right.
So, it's like, I know people that are, what was I going to say? They don't have agoraphobia or anything, but they're afraid to go out and be in and around people because people scare them. Yet their main problem is that they're lonely. So, you gotta eventually learn that nothing's really going to happen. And in order for it to get better, you have to kind of, I don't want to say cowboy up to your fears, but you gotta, there's that realization that I was telling you about and the whole wrong path. I mean, it clicks, different things click for different people at different points of your life. And it's, I don't want to say a revelation, but I guess it's just part of living by your own rules, where you actually learn to sense the little differences in yourself and know when something's not working.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyone that's, in their late 30s and, you know, has lived a prescribed life, I don't mean with prescriptions, but I mean as in following a set of rules laid out by somebody else.
All right, we're going to have to institute a new rule here at some point. I mean, this is the first time I've thought about it, but
no talking with your hands. But I'm Italian, so
But you got to just keep your arms further away from the mic when you talk with your hands,
right?
But I think we're going to have a jar up here, and it's a dollar in the jar every time you hit the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had started that from the beginning, I'd probably be up to about $50 in the jar. So,
well, you know,
not like I'm picking on you or anything, but. I'm liking that, and I guess at some point we would empty the jar and buy beer with it.
So that's a win-win situation for both of us.
Yeah, if you happen to be here when the beer is being served.
Oh. That's Paul's incentive to get more people to podcasting.
Exactly.
Which is all right. Oh, man. So
you got people wandering over and over again through the same path and wondering why nothing changes when they do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, but it's not that clear. It's part of living and growing up, and it's, you know, at no point are you done. And the older I get, the more I realize that, you know, you think, I know everything. Well, no, I don't, you know, and then something else hits you from the side or whatever. So
this is pretty much my argument for never getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
Because think of yourself 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Were you an idiot 10 years ago to where you are today?
Of course.
And 10 years before that, were you even more of an idiot?
Yes, I was. Actually, I was a hyperactive idiot, so.
Right. So if you think forward 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be a lot smarter than you are today. And mm-hmm. And by that logic, you're going to understand that getting a tattoo now is something you're going to understand in 10 years was a bad thing to do now. So don't do it.
Right. I mean, tattoos are in style, and some of them are, you know, hot and trashy. But yeah, man, I mean, you see these old Harley guys, you know, working in a data center or whatever, and they've got all these white, bristly, falling out chest hair growing through, you know, born to ride tattooed, and you see them at the company volleyball game. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you mean. So, you know, I'm all about not doing the tattoo thing.
They actually have a process that's, I don't know, I guess it's been out for 6 or 7 years, where they shoot a laser into your tattoo and it breaks up the ink into small enough particles that your blood carries it away. And depending on basically how liquid your skin is, but how much fluid flows through your capillaries in general, will determine how many treatments you need to go through before your body actually flushes the ink out of your skin.
Oh, joy.
So it's like, you know, $1,000 a treatment, but, I mean, you can remove an unsightly tattoo for a couple grand.
Yeah. Yeah. What? How much? Do you know how much it costs to get a tattoo? I have no idea.
Back when I was in college, like a decent-sized tattoo, something about the size of your fist, was running like $250 for, you know, someone who was good and bonded and, you know, had a nice clean clinic and all
so
that.
So maybe like four. So what's going to cost you $500 to get today might cost you $5,000 to get rid of tomorrow.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, you see these people with like their entire body covered with a tattoo.
Now, some of those people that are really into the body art, that's kind of cool. And maybe, yeah. You know, getting kind of a little piece here and there, that's one thing. But I've seen, you know, guys with like the, you know, the Celtic knot or the tribal symbol, and we're talking about guys who just, they ain't tribal at all,
right?
You know, and
yeah, they have the, you know, the barbed wire going around your bicep or the Celtic band, and I'm like, you know, that's cool now that you're going to the gym, but when you're like 40 and you've got two kids and you're all flabby, it's, you know, it's going to be a flab enhancer.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that I'm just wondering what that barbed wire is going to look like. It's, you know, like a frayed towel or something when you're all flabby.
Yeah. A frayed towel.
Yeah, kind of gross. Yeah. So yeah, it's been. I mean, just to jump back a second and talk about it. My definition of crazy
mm-hmm.
is someone who does the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
Oh yeah, I've heard that before. Been that before.
Yeah, I've been that before too. And that's kind of where I start. I use the trust but verify paradigm with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trust myself to do the right thing. And then I actually take some time to think about
mm-hmm.
why maybe I'm unhappy with something or why I'm happy with it, and think about what it was that I did to affect the situation.
Right. And usually that works, but for example, you know, some people can't figure out why, what the difference is between not doing something that hurts them and not getting hurt for a positive gain. Take the woman who's, you know, afraid of people. She's afraid. I mean, her anxiety goes through the roof to be around people. Well, You know, so, okay, well, you know, okay, I'm freaking out. Well, I won't be around people. So, you know, a year goes by, you know, and she's, you know, crying in her coffee because she's so freaking lonely, bored, and depressed, and she doesn't understand why. Because she can't tolerate the anxiety. Well, you know, is something else wrong? Does she need more practice? Does she need someone to go with her? I mean,
right.
These are things that, you know, we like to think as rational, experienced adults that we can just decipher, but it's not that simple.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean completely.
Yeah.
So being that neither one of us are mental professionals, and at least we've kind of gotten past that generally in our own lives,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's time to move on and just say that, you know, people like that need to really explore all of the options open to them.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe they have such severe mental problems that they need to see a mental professional, mm-hmm. and maybe they just need to start small.
Yep.
You know, stay out of noisy, crowded, high traffic places, you know, and
right.
and you know, join a club, or you don't even have to join. Just
join
show
a book
up
club
at a
with
meeting.
Two members. Yeah.
Exactly. Show up at a book club that has two members,
right,
and
right.
start there. And remember that when you do something like that, you're there to talk about the books, not about your prostate.
Right.
Or your epididymis, or, you know, or any of your other medical problems. You learn first to talk about what you're there for. You know, unless you're going to a prostate support group.
Well, right.
You know.
Then you talk about the book you read.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You go to a book club, talk about the book you read first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure you've got a good couple of hours of talking to somebody before you bring up prostate.
So, by the way, my prostate? Yeah. So
my prostate's about the size of a grapefruit.
My prostate had a first name. It's right.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's not degenerate any further into the prostate. I don't know. It's been a while since we've seen you. All this stuff has happened.
Yeah. What'd you do for New Year's?
New Year's, we went up to our friends Greg and Nora,
mm-hmm.
The once and future con chair and her husband. Nora is the current is the reigning con chair, convention chairwoman for Balticon, and she will be next year's chairwoman. So we are calling her the once and future
chair.
Chair. Yeah.
Huh. Before and after chairs.
Yes.
So was Greg a chair at one point, or was he just helping around?
I think
stuff?
Greg may wind up being chair after Nora.
Right.
Nora is extremely capable, and both of them are extremely capable. It's right now, both of them are heavily overloaded mm-hmm. in what they've committed to, and they need to back off stuff like that and
right.
focus on the things that they need to do for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so what you may or may not know about Mr. Greg is that he was actually in a fraternity in
yeah.
college, and I was his little brother, unquote.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew you guys were in the same fraternity.
Right.
But I didn't realize that he had paddled your ass.
Actually, no. Oddly enough, he didn't. Actually, I misspoke. He's my big brother's big brother. So
he's your kind of godbrother or grandbrother. Or
grandbrother
something.
Or something like that
something
in the food
like
chain. Basically, he pledged, I think, a couple years before I did.
So he paddled the ass that paddled your ass.
Exactly.
Got it.
I never got to make it. We didn't do pledge paddles in that fraternity for whatever reason. We just got hazed, but that's okay.
Okay. I was too paranoid to put up with hazing.
Hazing's funny. I mean, when I was at...
Unless you're paranoid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny to hear about other people's hazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can deal with that.
So at Frostburg State, where I went to school, there was it wasn't really a fraternity anymore. It was, I guess, a club called Sig Phi. And basically what happened was they lost their charter and went, so what? And they just stayed and did exactly everything like they would in a fraternity. Okay, fine. So they had... This basically opened the doors for them to do whatever the hell they wanted with no fear of repercussion. So they had some extremely ruthless hazing. And of course, you're not supposed to hear about any of this. So I'm going to tell you. This guy across the hall from me, Sean.
I just need to interject that this reminds me of every one of those secrets of magic books that I've read. All of these secret orders that have these powers to do all sorts of things, and this order is so secret that I've just written a book about it for you to read.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you're asking 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids to keep a secret. I mean,
yeah.
How long is that going to last?
Okay.
But what happened was, and Sean would be up in the middle of the night. I'd get up to go to the bathroom, and I'd see guys in the hallway just squirting shaving cream all over him while he was singing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle theme song in his underwear. And who knows, like, what's going on, right? But after he got in, he was all, you know, they go out and get hammered and, you know, stoned or whatever. And so apparently they do this thing, or I don't know, maybe it's a daily thing, where they blindfold their pledges and they basically slap them around and make them drink, you know, like maybe it's tequila, maybe it's, you know, cologne. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
They're just taking advantage of them. So Sean was slapping this guy around. He's like, little brother so-and-so, recite the creed. He's like, oh, I'm drunk. I can't. I don't remember. He's like, you're a failure. You're worthless. You're going to recite the creed or you're going to suck my dick. He's like, no, no, Pledge Master Sean. He's like, you will. So Sean takes a raw hot dog and puts it in his pants. So this pledge is blindfolded on the ground, and he's slapping him on the side of the face with this Oscar Mayer. And then the guy throws up on him. And Sean's like, you threw up on my dick. That's it. That's your ass. And, oh, God, I love telling that story. I don't know. He wouldn't tell me what happened after that. It was probably even much more illegal. I'm sure they told him at some point, but I wonder how long he went through life thinking he threw up on some dude's dick.
Hopefully not too long.
Yeah. You know, at least a semester anyway.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
So, yeah, I didn't have to go through any of that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And when we come back from this break, I think we're going to talk about what happened over New Year's for you.
Yeah, New Year's.
All right. We will be right back after a few promos.
Good news, everyone. Several years ago, I tried to log on to AOL, and it just went through. We're online.
The Pocket and the Pendant is a sci-fi fantasy book. It's meant to be a crossover, and I really was aiming to create something that was satisfying to an adult, but yet enjoyable and understandable to a kid. Most of the listeners and readers of the book actually have been adults, I'd say somewhere around 80% or so. I've tried to make something that's sort of in the same vein as His Dark Materials, or, you know, The Chronicles of Narnia, but just sort of updated with an American tilt. Some people have called it a cross between Stargate and Narnia. There's a lot of ancient Sumerian mythology. There's a lot of ancient civilization kinds of things. There's quantum mechanics. And there's a lot of UFOs. But there's also magic books. There's also a lot of human drama between the characters. You know, it's a 100,000-word novel. It's unabridged. It's a little bit bigger than The Hobbit. So I really tried to go for an American feel to it. So you'll see it's set in America. We start off in California, and the action sort of takes us into New York. So it's called The Pocket and the Pendant. The website is pocketandpendant.com. There is actually a book available on amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com. So I hope you'll join us for The Pocket and the Pendant.
Hi, everybody. My name is Natasha, and His Royal Highness Prince Bertie the Frog has commanded me to tell you all about Story Nori. Have you ever wished there was a book that could talk to your children, all for free? With Story Nori, that wish can come true. A long car journey, a tedious train ride, or just the school run? With Story Nori, You can download classic and original children's stories to listen to in the car, on the train, or just at home when it's raining and there isn't much else to do. Put them on your iPod or any other MP3 player, or just download them onto your computer and burn them onto a CD. StoryNori is easy to use and loads of fun, and it's all absolutely free. And it's a great way to introduce your children to classic literature and to get them interested in books. You'll find all the details at www.storynori.com. And how is it that all these wonderful stories are being provided completely free? Well, it's all because Bertie used to be a very handsome prince. He was in love with the beautiful Princess Beatrice. But her stepmother thought his nose was too green, so she turned him into a frog. Now Bertie's a bit sad about that. So to cheer himself up, he has created all these stories to listen to on his iPod. And one day, if enough children listen to his stories, then he'll turn back into a prince. Until then, you can visit Bertie and his friends and hear his stories at www.storynori.com. Bye-bye!
Say something, anything.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Anything but that.
And we're back here to talk about the new year, 2006, and how we rang it in. Mine was very laid back. Got together with Greg and Nora and our friends Nikki and Mike, and we sat around and played this really great game called Carcassonne. It's a tile laying game.
Is that the one?
Say that slowly, or it comes out. Dude, comes out all fucked up.
Is that like the was that Monster Dungeon Madness game we played at the last con? I played with you.
With like the Frankenstein walking around.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's a German game called Finsterflur.
Uh-huh.
And there is an American version of it, but I forget what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you pull tiles out of a bag and you have to build cities and roads and farms, and they have to connect up in the right. The tile has to fit depending on what's,
mm-hmm.
what's printed on it. But if you play with all of the expansion packs and six people, it can take like 6 hours to finish one game.
Really?
Yeah. But it's really fun, and there's an extremely high fuck you factor.
Ugh.
So you're always on the lookout, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what tile you draw, to see whether or not you can screw someone else out of major points.
Nice.
What about you? What were you up to for the new year?
New Year. So I had offers to go to Minneapolis and Colorado and such for New Year's, and I actually just gotten back from Colorado to see a friend of mine, Chris. Did a little skiing, a little drinking, hanging out, looking at condos and stuff. The condo that I want, it only costs $720,000 in downtown Denver, but it's got it's beautiful. It's got granite kitchen and stainless appliances, and you know, there's two rooms with windows, and that's not really an accurate statement. We should say in two of the rooms, the wall that should have a window on it is a window.
Oh, like floor to ceiling, like wall to wall window,
corner to corner window.
And this is in Colorado.
This is in Colorado.
And that would be one of those cold places, right?
Actually, you know, oddly enough, Colorado has got a milder climate than we do here.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's the same latitude. The mountains, it's a lot colder, but they don't get the moisture off the ocean, so it doesn't feel as cold in the wintertime, and when it does get cold, so there's actually less precipitation in the city, at least in the past 3 or 4 years that, you know, he's lived out there.
Okay.
But last thing about this condo is it's got this big 12-person jacuzzi on the roof, and you can see the stadium from up there. It's got a big gas grill and a DJ booth, so you know, apparently Saturday night, all the young 20 and 30 somethings that can afford to live there are up on the roof just hanging out in the hot tub, drinking and running around. I'm like, I want to live here.
Cool.
For $700,000, I think I'll not.
You'll pass on that?
Yeah, I'm going to pass. Because that doesn't even include condo fees.
Oh, man.
So
you have to be not only well-heeled, but you need to be earning as well.
Yeah, you got to be earning. So, and if you're earning that kind of cash, you're either you inherited it or you're working way too hard to enjoy that stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of my opinion of it.
So that's pretty much for that. But for my New Year's, I don't say I got roped into it. I got invited to go to the Best of DC party in the Hilton downtown. And basically, I don't say the entire Hilton, but just about the entire Hilton. All the common rooms are rented out for various dancing and stages and DJs. And I'd say there was about five or six rooms. I mean, like huge banquet rooms.
Yeah.
Like the entire bottom two floors of the building.
Just one big party, or were these lots of different parties?
It was one big party in lots of different little rooms and big rooms. Like there was a karaoke room. There was a bar like every 14 feet.
Sweet.
They didn't really serve high-end liquor, but I mean, the idea is that there was enough bars that you didn't have to wait in line. So it worked out really well. I think I paid like $140 for that, and then I got a room for the night at about $200. So,
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Did you go with anyone?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, there was a lot of drama that night because I went with two other couples and a couple friends of one of the couples. So yeah. My my neighbor friend Todd and Chrissy, they're a couple, and then some other friends I have, Jen and Simon, are there.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we get there, and everyone gets hammered, and Todd and Chrissy don't spend any time together.
Yeah.
And Jen and Simon don't spend any time together.
Okay.
So, and, you know, this may or may not be a big deal. I mean, there's 5,000 of your closest friends. You're not going to find them. You're not hearing your phone.
Right.
So it's not even, you know, like that big a deal. But, you know, I hung out. I danced with people, whatever. So when the ball dropped and we all finally met up together, Todd didn't kiss Chrissy on the mouth like during New Year's. He gave her like a peck on the cheek, right?
Oh, God.
And they're living together. So I don't know. That created a little bit of tension. But, I mean, I don't know. Todd's whole gig was, you know, I thought she was pissed at me because, you know, she didn't, you know, stay put, basically. Not that she had to stay put, but she didn't seem like she was making any effort to stay with the group or what have you, right?
Right.
So, you know, he was, you know, treading lightly, I guess. Then, so the party winds up wrapping up roughly 2 o'clock in the morning. And at some point, I find out that Jen and Simon are done. They have broken up and been living together for the past couple years. Primarily, it's due to visa issues. Not visa card, but he's over on a visa and they're legally married.
Oh, I'm thinking that one of them is running up the credit card and expecting the other one to pay.
Oh,
glad
no.
You cleared that up.
Yeah, so, you know, and I don't know why they wanted to keep that secret. I think they just wanted to, I don't know, change image or what have you. So that night at 2, the party wraps up, and I'm having a good time. I'm dancing with people, you know, got my drink on, running around, and everyone goes back to their rooms, and I have my own room, purely by coincidence. I just didn't, you know, I didn't pick up anyone, and I didn't invite anyone to go with me.
Yeah.
I go to bed. All right, I'm trying to get the order of events down.
So
okay, while you're thinking about the order of events, I have to describe the look on your face. Eric's sitting here, and he's got his eyes closed, and this look of intense concentration on his face. And I'm just wondering exactly how much concentration is necessary to pierce the alcohol haze that is surrounding those memories.
There's a fair bit of alcohol haze, and I guess I'm just trying to make sure I don't leave any important parts out, and I don't want to bore you with any of the boring details.
Well, yes, yeah. Pick it
but
up,
you know,
pick it up.
So anyways, you know, I'm having a good time. People are like, oh, we're gonna go back to the room and drink, and I'm like, man, F that, I'm going downstairs. So I go down the lobby, and the party's been over for like an hour. It's like 3 something in the morning.
Yeah,
and there's hundreds and hundreds of people running up and down the halls everywhere.
Yeah.
It's nobody went to bed. So I'm sitting in the room, you know, watching ass go back and forth. And I look up and I see this dude running down the hall, pretty darn fast, carrying a couple beers in his boxers. Just running down the hall. I'm like, all right, this is kind of funny, right? Then I see another dude running down the hall, carrying a case of beer. I'm like, wow. Huh, this is kind of funny. Then I see 6 security guards just trucking after him, running as fast as they can. They got their radios out. Oh, yeah, 2 naked dudes running down the hallway. Oh, they made a left right before the vacation room. It was all right. So went to bed, get up in the morning, and you know, I'm like, Todd, you know, let me know what's up. Go to breakfast, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, well, we already ate breakfast. And I'm like, you cock. I thought you were going to call me for breakfast, man. He's like, well, we didn't really have a breakfast like you're thinking. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's just me, Jen, and Simon having coffee. And I'm like, okay, where's Chrissy and her friends? He's like, she went home. And I'm like, okay, the girl you're living with went home. Yes. And I'm like, well, you know, she jumped on the metro. She said, no, our other roommate came to pick her up. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, I was wondering, can I get a ride home?
Something is seriously fucked up there.
So
what is with the drama?
So something's a little left up here, right? So we hang out. He talks a little bit about what's going on. And don't really enlighten me with too very much. Just that, you know, their relationship's on a downswing. And you know, I consider it a normal downswing, not an abnormal downswing.
Yeah.
And so then I go and talk to, I guess it's Chrissy and some of the roommates and whatever, and, you know, and find out a lot of, basically what boils down to speculation about Todd's infidelity.
Ah, okay. So okay. Now we get to the meat of the story.
So when you put 3 females together with different aspects of speculation, I mean, of course, you know, soap opera ensues.
Right.
So I find out a bit of the speculation, and I make it a point to point out, and I'm like, look, you guys are just guessing. I mean, you see somebody flirt, that doesn't mean he's sleeping with them. Okay, you see people hanging out, this, that, and the other. I mean, that's, you know, ask directly.
Mm-hmm.
If,
but that's not nearly as much fun as deciding to paint someone with a brush, you know.
Oh, yeah, and then act on it and not necessarily communicate to them, right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is, of course, what young people do. So, Rose, so one of the roommates, tells me that she caught Todd and Jen kissing one night, hammered 3 o'clock in the morning at one of the parties at Todd's house. And I'm like, okay, so, I mean, you know, you've never kissed someone when you were seeing someone. Well, you know, so they're still blowing this thing into this total infidelity. Then here's where the confusing part comes in, is Todd says to me, I want to talk to you before they pump your head full of a bunch of shit. And I'm like, Todd, dude, I'm Switzerland.
It's too fucking late.
I'm like, dude, I'm Switzerland. I mean, this has nothing to do with me at all. So he comes in and he basically tells me his side of the story. He does not admit or confirm that he hooked up with Jen or whatever when I made reference to it. He kind of brushes it off. So I guess where this gets intriguing for me is what kind of person would say, I want to talk to you before somebody pumps your head full of shit? Only a liar says something like that. Because an adult would say, look, dude, I need to tell you the truth. It's kind of like, I know that the first spin you hear is the one you're going to believe the most, so please hear mine first.
Yeah.
So
let's see where you're going.
You see where I'm going with this? Now, let me also bring up the fact that this is the second time this has happened between he and I. This happened once about 2 years ago, similar situation where he and I didn't speak for almost 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, and now he's not talking to me again, and I'm like, you know, dude, you can't craft reality. You can't undo what you did by lying. You can't say, don't tell anyone this, you know, and tell lies to them because you want to craft, you know, their opinion of you. Because people talk, and this is not a nuclear secret. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this is not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Word's going to get around. People know who you are. You cannot control this.
Right. I mean, you can do damage control, but you can't do perception control. You're just not, you know, you're not Channel 7.
You're not George Bush.
Right. So, and even then you got Michael Moore.
Well, you can pay a whole room full of, you know, whole town hall full of people to read scripted comments about how wonderful you are.
Oh, yeah. So anyways, be all that as it may, I'm having difficulty trying to decide, you know, whether Todd's full of shit, he's confused, he made a mistake.
I don't know that I've ever met him, but it sounds like he thinks it with his dick and just does whatever he pleases. And then he hears people talking nasty about it and he wants to try and control it.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to fight. You know, I'm trying to.
And as long as you know that about him beforehand, you know whether or not to believe him.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make him a bad friend, but, you know, if the guy's going to cheat on his live-in girlfriend.
Right.
Which
we don't know.
Which, yeah, I certainly don't know because I've never met either one of them. Then, you know, this is someone that, yeah, they have some honesty issues.
Right.
Or at least some, I don't know. They have some issues.
So be all that as it may. I mean, it's not a huge deal or whatever. I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to digest it. I'm trying to figure out how I want that to sit with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had this problem with anybody ever in my entire life. So, you know, commonality with all this is, well, that one person. So, leads me to believe that, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. And if I was, I'd probably forgive myself and move on. So,
what can you do?
What can you do?
So this was your New Year's, was just wrapped in all of this drama.
All of this drama, and naked
people running down the hall and naked didn't
people,
get laid.
No, didn't get laid. Well, I mean, I think I was the oldest person there at 36, which, you know, makes for some beautiful people, but God, they're fucking stupid.
Yeah, but you know, dumb chicks are good for sex.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I met some dumb chicks last night. That was pretty cool. So I go out with John, JP.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, dude, let's go eat. Let's go get something to eat. So John can invite me to do two things, go eat or see a movie. He is incapable of inviting me to do or for himself to do anything different. His entire life revolves around the next meal. And I'm like, dude.
Or the next movie.
I mean, he sees extremely horrible movies.
I mean, he called you up and said, hey, dude, let's share a woman, you might not be interested in that.
Well, that would never happen because of who he is. meaning, I don't know that he would actually have a woman to share. He might want to share one of mine.
I've seen some of the women that you've dated. If I were if I had the moral ground to even think about sharing, I would definitely be interested. But, you know, I'm married, so I know.
Thanks, I think.
You do wind up with some fine women.
I wind up with some fine women that make me lose hair. Yes, I do. And then I tried dating women that weren't as good looking, and they were even crazier. So
I think the amount of craziness is, you know, directly proportional to the number of X chromosomes you have.
That could be true.
It could be true.
That could be true.
Could get me divorced if Martha ever hears this, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah, sometimes you have to live dangerously.
Well, that's the powers of editing.
No, I don't I don't edit. I try very, very hard not to edit.
Right.
Because it's, you know, if I start editing, there is no stopping, and half an hour of audio turns into 2.5 hours of work.
Right, right.
That's why I want to do all of this live. No edits, no changes, nothing like that.
I hear you.
You getting the coffee burps?
Yeah, I don't want to belch into the microphone.
No, why the hell not?
Yeah, okay. Oh, man. So, yeah.
So there you have it. You were out with John, and you ran into some really dumb chicks.
I ran into some really dumb chicks. Actually, I ran into a woman that I used to work with at Keybridge, and I figure, okay, well, she's not very good looking, and, you know, has a couple kids, and, you know, this might be perfect for John, right? So, totally not getting into it whatsoever. Oh, Christ, dude, you need some help. Met some, like, extremely hot 20-somethings. And just every time he opened his mouth, he sounded like a kid in a candy store. You know, making comments about how the way they were dressed or you know, sexual innuendo. And I'm like, dude, you just met these women. You can't make sex jokes. It just doesn't work. I mean, maybe if you look like Brad Pitt or whatever. Yeah.
Brad Pitt is the current cultural icon of male sexual potency on this show.
Right. Right. So I kept having to ditch him. And the more I ditched him, the more he followed me. You know, and eventually I'm like, look, dude, you gotta back off, dude. I'm trying to, you know, I mean, you're messing up the game. She's like, well, I'm just trying to be your wingman. I'm like, dude, you can't be a wingman in a paper airplane. Please, just give me some space. And he got a little hurt and dejected. And I'm like, oh, for Christ's sakes, dude. I mean, you're going to be 40 this year.
So what you're saying is he ain't got no game.
He didn't even have practice. That would be one thing if oh, God, I don't know. So last weekend, just to further enhance this story, it's like Friday night. He comes in from work travel. He's like, hey, dude, you want to go out? Blah, blah, blah. Get something to eat. Okay. Hang out with him for dinner. Go see a movie, whatever, at his house and go home. Go to bed. Saturday morning. He's like, you know, hey, man, you want to go get something to eat? I got to pick up some things at Best Buy. So we hang out, you know, shop, go to lunch, you know, go check out some stuff at some stores, go to Best Buy, get some coffee, and it's pushing 4. And he's like, where to now? And I'm like, home.
And what time did you start this jaunt?
Like 10:30-ish.
So it's been like 5.5-6 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even tolerate like my best friends for 5.5-6 hours unless they're sleeping. Right? So, yeah. So he's like, all right, well, give me a call later. And I'm like, all right, later to me means, you know, next weekend. So he calls me twice that night when I'm hanging out with somebody else. I don't call him back. It's like 9:45, and he's like, all right, dude, I'm not waiting for you anymore. I'm going to go out and get something to eat. I'm like, you're eating dinner at 9:45. All right, you know, whatever. So then the next morning, I'm on the phone with another friend, John, actually. And he calls, and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to get that. I'm, you know, talking to someone. I don't get to talk too much. You know, 30 minutes goes by. He calls again. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, man. So I'm like, all right, I got to call him when I get off the phone. So 5 minutes later, he's in my driveway, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell. And I'm like, dude, you need to go away. All right?
So this is John number two.
This is John the neighbor.
Okay.
This is the same John as before. I think that's $3 in the jar.
Yeah.
This is the same John that was, you know, following me around at the club and whatnot. And so I just don't answer the door. And he's sitting there in my driveway. He sits in my driveway for about 20 minutes. Then he decides to get out and walk around the house and look in the windows to see if I'm there. And I'm like,
are you his only friend on the planet?
I'm thinking so. Not only that, I mean, you would imagine that a 37-year-old would have enough, I don't know what the word is, but they'd be able to pick up on the fact that, hey, you know, I'm not reachable right now. Maybe I'm banging a chick, maybe I'm sleeping, maybe I'm throwing up, maybe I'm reading a book, maybe I'm...
Right.
Anything. Anything could be going on right now to exclude you. I mean, you know, maybe I'm constipated. Whatever.
Yeah, I think I used to do that kind of shit when I was in, like, junior high school or high school.
Well, right. So, I mean, so, you know, he's walking around the house. He's, like, trying, you know, like the sliding glass door. I keep that open sometimes, like, if, you know, someone's coming over or whatever, and yeah. I don't want to give him a key. You know, luckily that was closed.
This is not a fucking sitcom where people just walk into your house.
Yeah, this isn't Seinfeld.
No.
I mean, so then I guess around, like, I think I do something in the afternoon. I think I go shopping. I was looking for a camera and a printer. And I get back around 4:30, 5 o'clock. And, you know, I'm sitting there playing video games. And what happens is, you know, he knocks on the door. And I'm like, all right, fuck. So I let him in. He's like, dude, I thought you dropped off the face of the earth. And I'm like, John, it hasn't even been 24 hours. He's like, oh, well, you mentioned, you know, you wanted to hang out. I'm like, John, what'd you do Friday night? He's like, well, you know what I did. We went out. And I'm like, all right, well, what'd you do Saturday morning? He's like, well, you know, we went shopping. I was like, all right, what'd you do Saturday for lunch? He's like, dude, we went to Hooters. And I said, okay, so what'd you do Saturday after lunch? Oh, we went to go look at such and such and got some coffee. And I'm like, all right, so you spent the first 3/5 of the weekend with me exclusively. And I don't know how to say this, but you and I, we're never going to date. Okay, we don't need to spend this much time together. You know, I'm like, come on, man. You know, I mean, you need to understand that if I'm not reachable, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And it might be because I don't like you. It might be because I'm hanging out with you too much. But, you know, apparently I have to tell you these things. You're my friend, and that's why I'm spelling this out for you instead of blowing you off. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to dinner with Rich tonight. We're going to Bonefish and Fairfax around 8 if you want to go. And I'm like, all right, I'm probably not going to go. If you know, the mood strikes me, I'll go.
I got to interject that. This is kind of a common thing that I've been seeing a lot recently. I got my security clearance and made the mistake of updating my resume on Monster, even though I have no intention of finding a new place to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting like 20 calls a week and emails. And it's all of these guys are like, we have a job opportunity. Please call me back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And it's like, if, you know, it's like him calling and saying, dude, where are you? Instead right. of saying, hey, you know, Joe and I are going out to Bonefish at 8 o'clock. If you want to join us, give me a call back if you want to go.
Right.
It's, dude, are you there? Are you there? I need to talk to you. Are you there? You know, it's like, leave a fucking message with some content.
Well, right.
You know, I had one guy who, you know, one guy this week who actually, like, put in a non-vague description of the job and who it was for. And I actually got back to him,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, you know, I don't want to mention money numbers, but he's like, okay, this job pays X, and I'm like, and it pays X plus 20 at the high end, and I'm like, you know, I'm already making your high end, and I need, you know, 20% to change jobs away from a job that I like, because it's a risk to me.
Of course.
May not like working for this guy.
Right.
You know, so if your customer is willing to consider, you know, a starting salary of his top plus 20%, call me back.
Yeah.
But most of these guys, I don't even bother calling them back because they won't leave a message with any content because all they do is they surf Monster all day long. You know, they have a job wreck in hand.
Mm-hmm.
They find, you know, 100 people that look like they might fit the job.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, grab the email address or the phone number and they just blast out these messages.
Right.
And I refuse to talk to these people. I might be missing out on a great job, but
you have a great job. You're not missing anything.
This guy, recruiters typically make 30% of your annual salary
as a finder's fee.
And I make a lot of money. So
So they're going to go for the 100 grand plus jobs.
Exactly. And that's the level that I'm at. So this guy is looking at a minimum of 30 grand. In mm-hmm. his pocket for scoring me, and he can't leave, you know, and he sends me a two-letter email,
mm-hmm.
you know, two-line email saying, I have a job opportunity, please contact me, you know, and just lists the title of the job and no other information. It's fucking email. How hard is it, you know, to put some more information in it?
Right.
But it's even worse on the phone. It's like, hi, I'm Joe Schmuckatelli from, you know, Schmuckatelli and Rand, you know, headhunters.
Right.
You know, I saw your resume on Monster and I have an opportunity to talk to you about, please call me back at 1-800 I'm a schmuck. And you know,
Schmuckatelli, is that an Italian Jew?
Something like that.
No, it's cool, man.
You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, mm-hmm. if you want to talk to someone, leave some fucking content. And on that note, I think it's time to put an end to this episode of the ADD Cast and go have some more coffee.
Yeah, more coffee's good.
Yep. All right.
All right.
You cool with that?
Yeah, sure, man. I'm hanging. You know, I got nothing going on.
Cool. All right. So I want to take care of the business now. This show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution required non-commercial license. So if you want to use all or part of it for your own works, your own creative works, go right ahead. But if you make some money, you need to talk to me. The email address to contact us at is addcast@gmail.com. The website is addcast.net, which hopefully we'll be getting an update very soon. And our intro music is brought to us by Audrey Fisher, and our finishing music is two songs that kind of fit together by Bottomland. You can find out more information about Bottomland at www.bottomland.org. And tonight's tracks are called Prelude and In. That's the name of the track, A-N-D-I-N. And on that note, I would like to remind you that you can't control the stimulus, control the response.
And in her feet are wings. She flies when she is walking. So when she dances, reality falls away. And in her heart it burns an incandescent fire. Backlit her image shines so deep into my mind. And through her eyes a light that beams into the distance. So when she looks at me, everything seems so clear. And in her breath the wind, she sighs the trees to motion. So when she whispers, I turn to rain. Under your hair I see the color. Just as the sun rolls down so slow for you. And in your hands I touch the movement in the sea. What was the wave without passing up? Turning upside down. And in her laugh a sound that calls to aging children. So when she starts to sing, all time stands still. And in your hair I see the color. Just as the sun bows down so slow for you. And in your hands I touch the movement in the sea. What a wave you're crashing over me. And in your face I see a softly glowing. All I tell her to